Side Hustle Show 124, what I've learned and applied from 50 awesome entrepreneurs, part two.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is episode 124. It's what I've learned and applied from 50 awesome entrepreneurs. This is the second edition of this type of show. I first did it for episode 50 back in 2014, which was my first solo episode. And the idea behind this show and that last one is taking the meta advice. So at the end of the show, I ask, hey, what's your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation? And, you know, combining those or kind of itemizing those out to see what kind of patterns emerge, which ones kind of stand out from the rest. And in there's a lot of diversity in the advice, but in episode 50, there was something, looking back over the first 49 episodes, something that came up over and over again. And when that happens, I think, you know, you ought to pay attention to it, right? So three common themes from that episode were, number one, just do it. Like, just get started. It doesn't matter. Just do it, right? So that's probably the most common bit of advice that you'll hear. And that was common in this next round of interviews as well. Number two, a year ago, was kind of to adopt the lean startup mentality, which kind of goes in line with just do it. But it's about, you know, putting something out there, testing, iterating on that, getting feedback, and then, you know, refining your product or service from there. And the third tip from last year was kind of to build your team, to build your network, build an awesome community or network of people around you, both helping you out and in terms of people you can help in your network. So I thought that was really valuable advice. And then I offered up my number one tip. Like, if someone flipped the mic on me and asked, hey, Nick, what's your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation? And I gave, hey, find your why. Why are you doing this? What are you working towards? You know, whether that's more freedom and flexibility in how you spend your days, how you spend more time on your family, go on epic adventures, whatever that is, you know, working on something you care about, you know, to find your why, because otherwise it's going to be hard to find the motivation to continue working on this stuff because it's hard. So this episode focuses on the number one tips from my next 50 guests, so kind of a meta episode. To do that, some of the themes that came up again, just start today, just do it. More so on these next 50 episodes, I did hear about building your email list. That came up more so than build your network. So maybe there's a shift towards doing it that way. But I want to call to attention some of my favorite nuggets from the number one tips the last 14 months or so on the show. And if you stick around to the end of the show, you'll have a chance to win a free Side Hustle strategy session with me. So let's get into this. The first tip, this comes from episode 51, and this is Alex Ganadinic, who was a two-time guest on the show, and he gave the advice to 80-20 your efforts. And so like I mentioned last week, I just finished reading this book called 80-20 Sales and Marketing. I've kind of been geeking out on this stuff for the last couple weeks. But this is the idea of really doubling down on what's working. And in Alex's case, it's been, for the last year or so, I've kind of watched him really double down on his Udemy efforts. And so he went from, I think, 3 or 4 courses to probably more than 20 different courses now. And he's, you know, partnering with different people to make different content that he otherwise, you know, would never be able to make. And he's, you know, figuring out their ranking algorithm. He's figuring out how to make sales. He's turned that into, you know, his main focus of his business for the last year, because it was, hey, you know, this is where I'm seeing 80% of my results. And so it absolutely makes sense. In my case, it's probably been the podcast. You know, the podcast has been, the show has been the number one growth driver. And so I've, you know, added episodes, added Friday episodes, added public coaching episodes, and really trying to focus on, you know, what's working, you know, rather than trying to reinvent the wheel or as challenging as it is not to try other projects. Hey, this one is still seems to be doing well. So let's focus on that. The next bit of advice I have comes from John Acuff, who said, "Don't be ashamed of fear." And he also gave the quote or the soundbite or the tweetable, "Average is a life less than you're capable of." So I asked him, hey, you know, because that's the subtitle of one of his books, like, hey, you know, escape average. And I say, John, what's average? He says, average is living a life less than you're capable of. And if that doesn't hit you like a slap in the face, I don't know what will, because it's like, hey, we're all living a life less than we're capable of, I think. I mean, we're always, at least I feel like we're always capable of more. And so that's kind of awakening, I guess, for me. Like, oh, what else should I be doing? What's my highest and best use? How should I be spending my days more so than what I'm doing today? And not to be ashamed of fear, because the reality is we still deal with fear every day. Like, I am fearful of a lot of things, mostly of, you know, projects failing, people not liking this stuff, and you get, you know, haters coming out of the woodwork. And it's, you know, that stuff can be intimidating, but you just kind of have to learn to push it aside and push forward. And it's just like, don't be ashamed of fear. Like, it's okay to be afraid. Everyone deals with this stuff. So I really liked that bit of advice. Jesse Krieger from Lifestyle Entrepreneur, his advice, his number one tip was to take action and to take it one step at a time. And, you know, the take action kind of falls in line with that just do it theme. But the one step at a time, it was really useful to me. And I'll give the example of, like, my new Amazon FBA business. It's like, I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't really know where this is going, but I know the first steps, right? The first step was to create an Amazon seller account. It's free. Okay. The next step is to download the Amazon seller app. Okay. That's free. The next step is to go to Walmart and see if I can scan some items. Okay. I can do that. That's free. And if I buy something, then it costs money. And then I can figure it, like, it's all kind of incremental and you can figure it out as you go. But if you don't take that one step at a time, then you never get there. So I thought that was really good advice from Jesse. And Scott Britton in episode 64 said specifically, find other people with your same mission. And it's hard to describe how powerful this is, right? So for me, I worked for years, you know, my home office, and really didn't focus on, you know, building a network or making a name for myself or getting out there. Anyways, I went to conferences. I went to a lot of affiliate summit conferences and met people there, but still kind of felt like an outsider, right? It wasn't until a couple shows. It wasn't until World Domination Summit and New Media Expo in 2014. So World Domination Summit was the summer of 2013. New Media Expo for me, my first show, was January of 2014. And those were like the first events, like the first big events I really felt like I had found other people with my same mission. And it was just, like, it was like a light bulb moment. It was really, really cool. Just like the energy to feed off of these groups. So you can find people with your same mission either locally, like local groups and meetups and events. You know, the kind of these national conferences where I've had some luck in doing that. Even on a very small scale, like setting up a mastermind. And you can find people to mastermind with in various Facebook groups, Side Hustle Nation Facebook group, for example. I host the Inner Circle Mastermind on a weekly basis. You know, these are the kind of things that can help shrink your entrepreneurial community and give you the feedback and sometimes the tough love that you need to hear to move forward. The next number one tip I have comes from Ryan Finley, the man who earns a full-time living buying and selling appliances on Craigslist. Crazy story, supports a family of seven doing this. He says, the best opportunities are found only once you're already in motion. And this is so powerful, right? Because I have a tendency, you know, to want to sit back, wait for that one lightning bolt of an idea and say, this is it, right? But there are dozens of examples of this, even in my own career, right? The best opportunities aren't found until you're already in motion. Like with the shoe business, had I not started with these dumb little you know, text link ad, like two line text ads, never would have had the idea or the validation to build the entire website, to build the comparison shopping engine. Like my failed wine gifts site actually led me to starting another project that has turned out to be really profitable, just by virtue of like doing research in this, you know, in the wine space. I came across another site. Like, man, this guy has got a really cool business model, really cool setup. Let me see if I can rip, pivot, and jam this. Credit where credit is due. Lifestyle Business Podcast, Tropical MBA, to another vertical, to another niche. And then even with stuff like the book launch, right? You know, if you're writing a book, that leads to some perceived authority and new opportunities and all this stuff. But like Ryan said, you know, the best opportunities are only found once you're already in motion. So I think the moral of the story on that one is to get moving. From Carrie Smith from carefulsense.com, she says, "You are your most important asset. So put yourself first and invest in you." So this invest in you is, I think, really, really powerful advice. And it's cliche, right? But, you know, rather than we think about investing, oh, I'm going to put 10% into the stock market and I'm going to let it ride, right? But like, how often do we think about investing in ourselves, whether that's just time to relax at the end of the day, you know, time to take care of our bodies, to work out. Like, I'm reminded of the quote from, I think it was in The One Thing, where, you know, the author says, "Hey, if you don't take care of your body, where will you live?" And this is one of my favorite quotes. Just, I don't know, going to the gym, working out is like the first thing. Like when I get super busy, it's the first thing that I axe off of my to-do list. And I hate myself for it because it's like really, really important. In fact, Richard Branson has famously said his number one productivity hack is exercise. So investing in yourself in terms of, you know, your time to recharge, your health, you know, reading, you know, investing in your education, whether that's, you know, learning what you need to know, taking the time to study this stuff. But balancing that with taking action, right? So it's all a fine line. The next bit of advice I have comes from Jay Massey, who runs Cashflow Diary, and we did an episode on real estate wholesaling. So he said, once you get started, stay started. Focus on your IGAs, your income generating activities. And one thing that I found that I've started to do is. So I have my gratitude journal. Every evening, I get an email that asks me, "Hey, what are you grateful? What did you get done today? And what are you grateful for?" Like, what I could start asking, or what I should probably start asking, is, "What did I do to make money today? What assets did I build today? What value did I deliver today?" Like, all of those, you know, help put the focus back on that income generating activities, because I can sit around and be like, I'm gonna redesign my website. I'm gonna redesign my About Us page. I'm gonna do all this stuff. I'm gonna outline a new book, which I guess, you know, you could consider that to be an asset. But when you frame it very bluntly, very directly, what did I do to make money today? And this comes, I think this was a marketing book that I read a while ago, and it was like having everyone on his team ask, "What did I do to make money for the company today?" Right, which is like a very kind of like a company-centric thing. But what do I do to make money for the company today? Like, if you can't answer that, like, why are you working here, right? And there would be days in my old job, it's like, well, I drove around, I talked to some people, but what did I do to make money for the company today? Not a lot. So I think that's an important one, especially for side hustlers. I have this from Jasper Ribbers from getpaidforyourpad.com, the Airbnb guy. He says, if you're going to make assumptions, you might as well make empowering assumptions. And one episode that comes to mind was a recent strategy session I did with a gentleman, kind of a baby boomer generation guy who lost his job after 31 years in industry. And this call like stressed me out beyond belief. It was just, and the reason for that was the assumptions he was making were not empowering assumptions. Like he actually tried to cancel the strategy session before the day before. He said, "Hey, you keep the money. Just I have no reason to believe that I'm ever going to make this work. And it was just like, it was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking. I was stressed out. He's like, this guy had a big, big monthly nut to crack in terms of his lifestyle expenses and his just kind of fixed expenses. And I posted this in the Facebook group, so some people may be familiar with his story. It was just like, I'm like still like shaken up thinking about it. It was just like every suggestion that I offered was met with an excuse. And so it was like the opposite of empowering assumptions. Like, hey, why not give this a shot? And I asked the guy, he's selling like project management services. And I was like, what objections have you gotten? He's like, well, I haven't really gotten any objections. Like, well, if you haven't gotten any objections, if you hadn't had somebody tell you no, there was zero chance that you ever could have gotten a yes. And that it was just, it was a scary call. So I got to move on from that one, but make empowering assumptions, right? You got to try this stuff out. If it works, if it doesn't, you go back to the drawing board, you try again, and just you keep pressing on. So it's just, okay, we'll move on. From Jessica Lawler, she says, wake up, or this was her number one tip, wake up earlier and start each day with your most important task. So I will say I have not taken her advice to wake up earlier, but I have taken her advice to start each day with my most important task. And how this looks for me is writing down the night before my top three priorities for the next day, and then tackling them in order as soon as I start work for the next day. And to be honest, usually there's a little bit of email checking time, you know, first thing, but then it's priority number one. So I get into it right away. So priority number one for today, recording this episode. And here we are at 8:30 in the morning. So it's getting done first thing. The next number one tip I have comes from Joshua Jordison, who did the excellent, excellent episode on hacking LinkedIn to generate more influence and build your network that way. His number one tip is that all business is done through people. To keep that in mind and to give them value first. And there are, you know, probably a dozen examples of people have built service businesses on the Side Hustle Show, and they all kind of have the same the same kind of go-to-market strategy, right? Like Brian Harris outlined this really, really well in episode 87, where he's like, hey, look, I'm going to find one person or company I want to work with. I'm going to deliver them something amazing, totally free of charge. Hey, use this how you will. If this is something you'd be interested in on an ongoing basis, maybe let's get in touch. We'll work something out. Carrie Smith talked about, you know, freelancing for these, you know, high-powered financial websites, you know, writing for them totally free of charge first, then transitioning to a paid model. You know, Sean Marshall said the same thing, building his marketing business. Hey, what value can I deliver for free? Even Anarcho Fighter, the Fiverr guy with the $10,000 Fiverr sale, it was a $5 gig that he went above and beyond and said, hey, this is what you... Like, here's the $5 gig, right? But here's what you really need, right? And it ended up being the $10,000 full, like, copywriting, revamp, sales page, you know, the whole nine yards. But, you know, never would have made the sale had he not, had he focused on purely being an order taker and selling that $5 thing, you never would have given that extra value that led to that $10,000 sale. Next number one tip comes from Joshua Sheets from Radical Personal Finance. Love what he's doing over there and looking forward to hanging out with Joshua at FinCon later this summer. But his number one tip was to find the actual net profit from your job with the argument that it might be less than you think. So taking your after-tax net income, you know, subtracting out your commuting costs, the cost of eating lunch out with your coworkers, the cost of daycare if you have that, the cost of living in this expensive area if you have to live in a certain area to do this job. All of this was kind of eye-opening. Like, you might find that you're making plenty of money from your day job, right? But you might find, like, hey, I'm really only netting $15 an hour from my job after I factored in all this other stuff, you know, gas and daycare and all this stuff. So a very interesting calculation to go through. So I encourage you, like, where would you live if you didn't have to live here, right? If, you know, he was all kind of about the geo arbitrage, like people don't think about moving and the tax benefits of doing that and all that stuff. So it was a fascinating episode. If you want to geek out on some tax saving stuff, I have a number one tip from Jeremy Jacobson, who if you missed this episode, was How to Retire in Your 30s, and that he and his wife lived very frugally, saved a ton of money, and now they have the freedom to basically live off of their passive, interest and dividends, like from their investments. And his number one bit of advice was start today, because compound interest is the most powerful force in the universe. And he was talking specifically about money and investing, which is very true, but the compound effect can be applied to just about anything else. And in fact, there's an excellent book on this topic as well. But like, I'm trying to think of with the podcast, for example, the compound effect of doing the show every week, of creating the lead magnets for every episode. Like, so I now have 50 plus lead magnets out there. Like, there's a compound effect to doing all of that. And, you know, each one of those is an extra opportunity for, you know, somebody to discover the brand, to, you know, start listening to the show. Even the compound effect of having written now more than 1,000 blog posts, like all of those are indexed in Google. They're all another channel of discoverability. And, you know, it's a slow ramp up, but like, you know, this is the compound effect. That's what's kind of cool. Like, it can be exponential as it moves forward. So that's where I'm excited to see where this goes. So later this spring, I had Daniel DiPiazza on the show again from rich20something.com, another repeat guest. And his advice was another kind of common theme, right? To focus, you know, with the popularity of the one thing and essentialism. And it actually did a show on those two books as well. But his advice kind of echoed their sentiment. He said, the less I have to do, the more I get done. The less I have to do, the more I get done. And I thought that was really, really empowering, because a lot of people are, you know, running around trying to do all of these things, and we feel busy. We feel, you know, it makes us feel productive, but where are we really getting? And so I used to send out a personal email to everyone who signed up for Side Hustle Nation. And I found the response rate on those were really low, maybe 5%. So I stopped doing it. Like, hey, you know, this was something that I had convinced myself was important to do, but it really, really wasn't making an impact. At least I didn't see it. Like, most people just ignored it. And I was like, well, that was dumb. This actually took a lot of time. Like, I actually wrote a personal note. What I started doing instead was only doing the personal emails to the people who filled out the welcome survey. So instead, when you sign up, oftentimes you'll be redirected to a page that says, what's your hustle? What are you working on? What's your 3-month goal? What's your 12-month goal? Or what's your long-term goal? And then what's holding you back? Like, why haven't you done this yet? What's standing in your way? And, you know, by responding to those people, and now I have a little bit more intel, a little bit more, advice to go on what they're actually working on. But it's, you know, those people are much more likely to respond. And in fact, the majority of the time, like, wow, they were like really impressed. Like, oh my gosh, like, you actually sent me a personal note. It's like, yeah, I did. Like, I want your side hustle to succeed. Come on. And, you know, so that's been a much more effective way, kind of the 80-20 of the personal welcome emails. So another bit of advice that I've started to implement is from Travis Marziani, who we did the show on, you know, getting started in e-commerce. His advice was to write down one idea a day. One idea a day. Can you come up with one idea a day? Like, this is your, you make this your creative practice homework, right? And this has a compound effect as well, because you, as you're looking around for inspiration, you'll just find things in your day-to-day. And so what this looks like for me is, and in full disclosure, like, I haven't kept at this every single day, but I am keeping a log of everything that comes to my mind for physical products, for business ideas, for book ideas, for blog post ideas, for marketing ideas, all this stuff, keeping a log in Google Docs and the Notes app on my phone. And that way, if I ever have a shortage of ideas again, which is never going to happen, like, I'll just go back to this idea bank that I'm building one day at a time, pick one, and go to town on it. Like, I don't know if this story is true, but like, you remember the rumors of, like, hey, they wanted to close the patent office in 1900. Everything that could be invented has already been invented, right? Like, we have reached the pinnacle of human innovation, and this is it. And actually, just on Snopes, I found that this myth has been busted. No one actually ever argued this. But that's the thing. Like, we look around, and I'm very much the person who is just happy with, like, oh, this is the shape of my cup. Like, I'm not looking at my cup thinking, oh my gosh, it would be so much better if it did this. Like, and so I kind of have a hard time with this. And we think everything that has been invented, you know, everything that could invent it has been invented, but we just know that's not the case. Like, we're just developing new stuff at an unbelievable pace. And you could be a part of that. Like, if you can figure out, you know, these iterative improvements to get going on the next thing. So those are some of my favorite number one tips from the last 50 interviews I've done. My challenge to you is, if I flip the mic on you and ask, what would be your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation? What would be your number one tip? If you leave me a comment with your number one tip at sidehustlenation.com/124, you'll be entered for a chance to win a free side hustle strategy session with me. So come up with something good, and like you've heard on the show before, like, some of these are not earth-shattering, some of these are not groundbreaking, but just, I'm curious to know, what would be your number one tip? What's helped you move forward? It can be a past tip from the show, it could be something from your own life, it could be something you just want to share with Side Hustle Nation, and put it in the comments, sidehustlenation.com/124, and we'll do a drawing or do a giveaway for a free side hustle strategy session. So, news and updates before we wrap up here. There's a lot of travel coming up in the next few months for me. So I'm headed to Dallas, like I mentioned, in a couple weeks for Podcast Movement. Actually, that's the end of next week. That's coming up right away. Podcast Movement in Dallas, Fort Worth. I'm headed to Chicago, headed to Seattle, headed to Charlotte for FinCon in September. Visiting some friends in Atlanta, and then later we've got an international trip to Istanbul, to Venice, to Florence. And all this stuff going on, and actually Phoenix later in the year as well. So I hope to host some meetups along the way. So make sure to sign up to the email list to get notified about those. Right, that's how I have been notifying people of the meetups as they come up or as they get scheduled. So looking forward to meeting some members of Side Hustle Nation on the road this summer in the next few months. And I do have a few new iTunes shouts for the month of June. First is coming in 5 stars from Kate from theweavingloom.com, an excellent site about lap looms, weaving looms. Kate, thank you so much for the review. It's been awesome to work with you a little bit and to see what you're working on, see what you're building. I've got 5 stars from Paul Zerlip. Paul is actually featured on the 500 Days of Cold Showers post today for taking the cold shower challenge. So Paul, thank you so much for the review, and thank you so much for participating in that. Yeah, I also got 5 stars from Jason Bellamy. So Jason, thank you so much. He says, when a new episode of the Side Hustle Show comes out, it moves to the top of my playlist, bumping other ones already in the queue. So guys, thank you so much for that. If you have a minute, if the show has brought some value into your earbuds, if you have a minute to drop in a review at sidehustlenation.com/iTunes, very, very much appreciate it. I think we're closing in at 150 or so in the U.S. store. That means the world to me, keeps things going and helps new people discover the show as well. So thank you so much for listening. We've got some really great episodes coming up. You're not going to want to miss them. But until then, let's go out there, make something happen, and I'll see you next week for another exciting edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.